The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go to Psalm 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 6. You know it well. If you're a Bible believer and Bible student, no doubt you have read it, maybe perhaps hundreds of times. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Watch what it says. The Bible says, "And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff driven," it says "are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I want to speak to you this morning on premeditated growth. Premeditated growth. I have a bonsai tree up here, and years ago I became very enamored by the bonsai trees. You know, a little bitty tree, and they only grow just a little bit. And I am not a great. I'm just so busy. If you give something to my wife and I and say, "Hey, this is great," you know, a little tree maybe we keep in the house or something, it'll probably die. You know, we are busy, we run, we forget about things, but I'm blessed because I do have some secretaries on staff here, and so I say, whatever you do, we're going to keep the bonsai tree alive. And so if I forget to water it, you water it. If I forget to feed it, you feed it, but help me preserve the bonsai tree. And one of my sons, Jared, gave it to me as a present. He said, "You know, Dad, I know you've always wanted a bonsai tree." And he said, "You know, and so I wanted to buy this for you as a gift." And I thought that's very, very kind. And so I thought, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take and just keep it there to remind me how I am supposed to be growing, to remind me about how I am supposed to be that one in the Lord that goes forward. And by the way, if you're going to go forward, can I tell you, it is on purpose. It's not going to be something that's by accident. There's going to be one rule, if you will, that you'll learn that happens in all of our lives. You know, there's no getting in a hurry to get holy from that which is getting in a holy position and just hurrying it up. There's no shortcuts to spirituality. There's no techniques. There's no rules that you necessarily follow in order to become that person that is closer to Christ. You know, there is principles that we're supposed to follow. The New Testament talks about renewing our minds over and over. One old-timer said it this way. He says, "You ain't what you think you are, but what you think you are." And so it's very important what we do think. It's very important what we put in our minds. Somebody said this, if it's all word and no spirit, it'll dry up. Somebody said if it's all spirit and no word, it'll blow up. Somebody said if it's all spirit and all word, it'll grow up. And so it's very important that we understand we have to have the balance in our lives in order to be able to understand the full measure of the statue of Christ. It's very important that we understand that we don't just grow in the Lord overnight. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to decide that we're going to put him on. We have to decide that we're going to die to the flesh. The Bible said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." And so you and I have to determine what type of Christian we're going to be. I think we ought to be like the old Energizer bunny years ago. You remember that? The Energizer bunny would just keep walking and walking and walking and walking, fall over, pick it up. Just kept walking and walking and fall over, pick it up, fall off the edge of the table. Somebody pick it up, put it on the table, just kept walking and walking and walking. That ought to be like you and I. You know, Christianity ought to be like this, ought not to be like this. We ought not live our lives in a roller coaster way. We ought to live it, if you would please, in an even, balanced way. Now, how do we do that? Well, let's notice some things. We have this, statement number one, have a foundation of fortitude. Have a foundation of fortitude. What's that mean? That means you have the ability to see ahead. Have the ability to see ahead. Notice in your Bible, the Bible says that the tree is planted. So somebody had to plant the tree. It's not a wild tree. It's something that was purposely put in a position where it's planted. You have to decide where you're going to plant yourself. I believe that everybody ought to be a member of a Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches the truth in totality. Not one that just kind of moves around, picks out what they want to pick and choose. The Bible talks about the whole counsel of the Word of God, all right? So I think we ought to be a part of a church where you're planted. You decide where you're going to plant yourself. By the way, this tree did not grow because it was recklessly put there. It was planted specifically in a place to fulfill its purpose. Now, can I tell you, we ought to decide that we're going to take our minds, we're going to take our hearts, and we're going to plant that which is truth inside of our hearts so that we can grow. It's very important. I became Baptist by conviction, not by convenience. I didn't grow up that way. I chose the path in which I would walk. You have to decide that you're going to choose the path in which you walk. First time I ever stepped into a fundamental independent Baptist church, scared me to death. Never saw such before. Never thought I'd want to see such again. But the guy got up, opened his Bible, and that was Dr. Smith at the time. He reared back, started to preach the Bible, and he was moving around a little bit. That was kind of different for me, but I saw it, got my attention, kept my attention, got me excited about the things of God, and then I decided to come back. I've been coming back ever since. Now, can I tell you, I chose where I was going to plant myself. Somebody said this, where you plant yourself is where you're going to bloom. Where you plant yourself is where you're going to bloom. Now, I'm going to give you some things to think about. And so here is that which is a foundation of fortitude. We think ahead, all right? So we planted the tree. It's purposely, distinctively planted in a certain place. I believe that in our society, the society is going more to the left. It's making wrong decisions. Now they're voting on should it be a men's bathroom, ladies' bathroom. By the way, at Parkside Baptist Church, it'll always be distinctively a men's bathroom or a ladies' bathroom. I can't believe we're voting on stuff like that. But wait a minute. Society's shifting to the left, shifting to the left, shifting to the left. Now, you have to decide with your family where you're going to plant yourself. It's important that we plant ourselves in the right place. And so here's a tree that was planted. Watch this. The tree was positioned. Where was it positioned? The Bible says beside, it says, or by the rivers of water. All right, so here it is. It is planted right beside or right by those rivers of water. Not one, it's plural there. Rivers. There's many rivers. Now, can I tell you, a wise parent will get your child planted in a place where many things that are righteous, that are holy, that are godly, that are right, that are pure, that are scriptural, will feed your child. Here it is. This tree is planted by the rivers of water. And so it's many rivers that's feeding this particular tree. There might be the river of the gospel, might be the river of grace, might be the river of faith, might be the river of mercy, might be the river of justification, might be the river of forgiveness, might be the river of long suffering, might be the river of joy, might be the river of peace. And by the way, different people have been able to grasp different types of things in their life. You know, some people, they're good at forgiving. You know, some people, they're good at giving joy. You know, some people, they're good at giving grace. You know, some people, they're just good at showing mercy. You know, some people, they're rich in their faith. Man, they step out, they trust God, they give it everything they've got. You know, some people that are rich in their giving, other people are rich in showing other things. What you do is you allow God to bring certain people in your life that's going to feed you. Certain people in your life will feed you different ways. I get around some people, I can always tell when Brother Craig's walking down the hallway. You know why? He's laughing. He's laughing. I can identify, okay, where's he at right now? And I hear this laugh. I say, oh, that's Brother Craig. That's Brother Craig. Got a distinctive laugh about him. Now, wait a minute. That's not bad. That's good. You know, when you get around somebody has a bright spirit, you get around somebody that's happy, you get around somebody, it's kind of contagious. Kind of influences. By the word, the word flu, it comes from the word, if you will, influenza, flu. It's you get around somebody that's got the flu and you can catch it. Here's my question. What's people catching from you? There needs to be something. What's your wife catching from you? What's your husband catching from you? What's your children? Hey, children, what's your parents catching from you? Do they catch the great attitude, love Jesus, want to give him 100%, or are they catching the attitude problem? I'm saying this. Here we see, here's a tree. It's planted by that which is the rivers of water. There's a lot of rivers coming in. Watch this. So you see the tree was planted. You see the position of the tree. Look at the protection of the tree. Here we see his leaf also shall not wither. The leaves of a tree is the protectionary part of the tree. It's going to protect the tree. It's going to protect the tree from various things that's going to come up and it's going to try and harm the tree. Protects it from storms, protects it, if you would please, from maybe the thunder of liberalism, protects it from all sorts of stuff. It protects the tree. If you have a good root system, it's been fed properly, guess what? The leaves are stronger. Leaves are stronger. Branches are stronger. See, what we put in will eventually come out. If I take this tree right here and I decide, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see how long it takes to die. I decide, okay, let's be mean to the thing. Let's see how long it takes to die. We're not going to water it. We're not going to feed it. We're not going to do anything. Let's just kind of see how long it takes to die all by itself. Now, by the way, listen, if you leave yourself alone and you don't decide that you're going to grow purposefully, you will wither up as a Christian and be that which is likened unto the naught. So we have to decide that we're going to be people that we grow by determination. Listen, plant yourself in the right place. Get yourself in a place where God can feed you and feed you and feed you. Get yourself in the place. That's why I say everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Why? It's more opportunities to be fed. I say, boy, it'd be good for you if you've never come to a Sunday night church. Come to Sunday night church. Why? More opportunities to be fed. You know what I found out about people? We can get so busy we do not eat. I don't know if you do that, but from time to time, I do that. I've gone through an entire day, and I've come home, and I say, for some reason, I'm hungry. My wife will say, what did you eat for lunch? I'll say, that's what I forgot. I forgot lunch. And I get so busy that I forget to eat sometimes. Now, by the way, that's not an often problem of mine. I said, sometimes. Most of the time, I'm ready and I'm right there. Matter of fact, I'll serve it and then I'll help you eat it as well. All right? Now, but the tree's planted. It's planted in a specific place. Where are you planting your tree? Where are you planting your tree? There needs to be a place of godliness, needs to be a place of influence, need to be a place where you're challenged, needs to be a place where the Word of God is that which is primary, not secondary. All right, wait a minute. Then that tree is positioned. Where is it positioned? It is strategically, it is directly, it is planted in a place where that which is the planter, the farmer, the one that gave it birth to be able to continue to grow, it's planted in a specific place so it can be watered. So it can be watered. For those of us that had the privilege to come to the Baptist Leadership Conference, can I tell you, those great men of God stood behind the pulpit and they preached, and what did they do? They fed. But there wasn't one of them, wasn't two of them, there was three of them, and what did they do? They gave us rivers of water. Amen. Rivers of water. We grew. Somebody said, boy, I tell you what, got something out of that message he preached. Somebody else said, got something out of that message he preached. Somebody else said, got something out of that message he preached, and they were all different. They were all different. I asked different ones. I said, so what'd you think about the preachers? One of them said, I really like that one. Had picked out a favorite one. Somebody else said, I really like that one. Picked out a favorite one. Two different ones. Two different ones. See, that's how come we have those that work in different departments. I think we've got 57 Sunday school classes, 15 adult Sunday school classes. You know why? Somebody comes to church and they say, preacher, I went to that Sunday school class over there, but I didn't like it. I said, okay, try another. Amen. Well, I went to that Sunday school class, pastor, and I didn't like it. Okay, try another. Amen. You've got a lot of choices. Amen. We're not going to box you in. We just want you to come and grow. Amen. There's going to be somebody's personality that you're attracted to, somebody's way of doing something that kind of draws you. But listen, out of 15 adult Sunday school classes, I guarantee you somebody you're going to like. Amen. You say, I'm on number 9. Yeah, you still got 6 more to go. Preacher, I hadn't found the right one yet. I'm on number 11. Hey, look, man, you still got 4 more to go. So that means I'm going to be here 15 weeks in a row just trying to find out where I fit. It'd be better to be here 15 weeks in a row, find out where you fit, than to give up and not be watered. Amen. It would be better to be in a place where God can. I have some people say, I want to be in a pastor's Sunday school class. I've had other people tell me this, I don't want to be in your class. Love to hear you preach, but I can't take you twice in a row. So how do you feel about that? I get depressed, I go out, I drink more coffee. No, I'm kidding. Doesn't matter to me. We have people that come to my Sunday school class and say, preacher, don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'd like to go check out so-and-so's class. How do you feel about that? I said, go. Man, it's great. Just find a place where you can grow. Doesn't matter to me. Now, I'm just excited you're coming. I'm honored to be your pastor, honored to be your friend. There'll be a place you can plug in, place you can grow. There'll be some water coming your way to fill you, to help you, to grow you. Somebody said a couple years ago, said, I'd like to do something for one of the couples here, but I don't want to offend you. It's one of my staff guys. I don't want to offend you. Would it be okay? I said, man, I think that's great. He and she deserves that. Matter of fact, if I were you, I would consider doing more. He said, whoa, wait a minute. He said, that's enough. I said, okay, that's fine. But now wait a minute. Should we not be that way? Amen. Come on. Heard these guys preach when I was over in the Philippines, and I'm listening in the hotel room in the Philippines. I'm listening to them preach, not the same time they preach, different hours over there. I listened to them preach. I said, man, we are so blessed. Amen. We are so blessed. Now, we got assistant pastors that know how to open the Bible, know how to teach, know how to preach. Hey, can I tell you, we are blessed. What is that? That's a river. That's a river. So here's what we see. There has to be a foundation of fortitude, thinking ahead. What do I think ahead about, preacher? I think about where I'm going to plant the tree. I think about, well, the position of the tree, not just a general location, but specifically where I want to do it. I think about the tree, and wherever I plant it, it's going to receive nurture, and the type of nurture it gets will be the strength of the branches, will be the strength of the leaves. So it does matter influence. It does matter church attendance. It does matter the Bible they use. It does matter the influence they get in the hallway and the surrounding areas. Amen. Does matter. So statement number one, have the foundation of fortitude. Statement number two, have a sure foundation that produces fruit. have a sure foundation. You know, one thing I learned about Texas when I moved here, you have shifting soil. Shifting soil. When we first moved here, we weren't going to build in Forney where we live. I never considered building until I was getting ready to go to Philippines, and I was going to be going over there for several weeks in a row to go over there and do those crusades and those pastors' conferences that I scheduled to do and stuff. And so I was heading out, and we had a short amount of time to be able to decide what we wanted to do. We scheduled houses to look at. We walked in houses, and I noticed something, that many houses had cracks. I noticed that, just different cracks, where the foundation had settled a little bit different than maybe what the builders thought to begin with it would. So different rooms had cracks in it. Now, I can tell you, you ought to establish your life upon Christ so you don't get cracks in your life. He's the sure foundation. See, it's not about personality. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I want to go to that church over there because after all, man, the personality, it's not about the personality. It's about the principles and the deliverance of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Come on. Amen. Yeah, now, I was talking to somebody the other day, can't even remember who it was now. I was talking to somebody, we're talking about crowds in church, people in church. I said, you can't judge church attendance to say that's a good church or a bad church. If that be true, then the rock concerts have it. 75,000 people going to a rock concert must be God. If that's true, then I guess the football games, basketball games, baseball games, God must be really dwelling there. It's not about the crowds. What it is about is the content. Not about the singing. Hey, I thank God for singing. Boy, I tell you, the Hemingers did a great job. Choir did a great job. Brother Palmer, I think I saw him up here, and Ben, his brother-in-law, singing with the choir. Great job. We have soloists that get up, and they do a great job. But in my opinion, singing makes your heart ready for the preaching.
Amen.
Prepares your heart. Because what changes us is the Word of God. That's what changes us. So what do I need to do? I need to decide that I'm going to have a foundation of fortitude. I'm going to be thinking ahead. I'm going to choose where to plant the tree. I'm going to position it right. I'm going to, our tree in our front yard, I don't know if you've ever been by my house out in Forney, but our tree in our front yard, we had it planted when we built 5 years ago. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing, but it's not growing that way. It's growing this way. It's growing this way. I told Jared the other day, I said, you know what that means? That means a chain's coming. Put a chain around that, pull it down, get it where it has a pulling this way. Now wait a minute. What do we have to do? Sometimes, even though we're planted in the right direction, if we start to go off wrong, we need to see it and say, okay, it needs to be a little bit of adjustment. You know what I found out about marriage? Marriage always has to be tweaked. So, man, I got a wife. She just got mad about this. Never been mad about that before. Okay, it's time to tweak something. Got a husband. Oh, he caught me off guard. He's always liked that food before. Now he says he can't stand it. All right, what do? You tweak it. You tweak it. Here's what I found out. If you add hot sauce, it takes care of everything. I don't know how you grew up. I grew up very country. On Fridays, we always had potluck. What is potluck? You put it in the pot, and good luck if you can eat it. Potluck. So when I was a teenager, I learned to appreciate hot sauce. My dear mother, she'd get everything out of the refrigerator on Fridays. I hear some hamburger. Here's some steak. Oh, fish over here. Oh, here's some corn. Hey, here's some beans. I'm going to go over here and open a can of soup, pour it in. It's called pot luck. Had it every Friday. Never tasted the same. Never. You know? And so she'd pour it in, and she'd say, hey, you know, she was always wondering how come we were late for supper. Maybe potluck. So, and I learned to carry just a little thing of hot sauce with me. Caught on to it about 14 years of age. Now I had that. I put that hot, mom would turn around, she'd go over there, and she'd be, put it in my pocket. She'd turn around, she said, isn't it good? Oh, it's so good. It's okay. It's okay. My mouth's burning. I'm saying this. I'm saying have the fortitude. Tree planted, positioned right, protected. Then also, you know, a sure foundation produces fruit. Watch in your Bible. The Bible says in verse 3, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. All right? So here it's talking about that which is his fruit in his season. Wait a minute. Hey, what about the fruit of the Spirit? Can we bring forth love? Can we bring forth joy? Can we bring forth long-suffering? Can we bring forth gentleness, maybe kindness? Can we be that one that produces goodness and meekness and temperance and faith? What type of fruit is people seeing you bring forth in your life? Now, the Bible says here, in a season. Now, that reflects that which is the progress, if you will. It's a procession, if you will. All right, and so here it is, something goes wrong. And by the way, do the litmus test. Go to Galatians chapter 5, I believe. Do the litmus test, if you will. Find out, are you in the spirit or are you in the flesh? All of a sudden, mom and dad correct you about something. Do you say, oh, yes, sir, I'll take care of it. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Sure do love you. Didn't see it. Got it. Or do you get mad? Shows if you're in the spirit or out of the spirit. All of a sudden, you know, somebody comes to you and they compliment you about something. Do you do this? Well, thank God for that. That's wonderful. Or do you wonder? Wonder what they meant by that. It used to be New York. We'd wave at people. Had a guy stop me when I lived in Brooklyn, New York. Waved at him one day. He said, "What do you want?" I said, "Nothing. Just waving at you." He said, "We don't do that here." "What do you want?" I said, I don't want anything. A little bit different when I lived there, when we lived there in the 80s. Come to Texas, driving down the road, you see somebody, you don't wave at them, they say, "What's wrong with you?" It's totally different. Man, it's just totally different. I mean, here everybody waves. That's why we have so many accidents. Everybody waves. Driving down the road, you know, takes both hands off, trying to wave at both sides same time, you know. Accidents everywhere, okay? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have to decide that we have a sure foundation, and by the way, that produces the right type of fruit. Don't you love it when somebody's walking with God and there's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. I heard somebody singing today, walking down the hallway. Well, what are they so happy about? Well, they're saved. Amen. Gonna go to heaven. Glad God is providing for them. Amen. Come on. Can I tell you, now, I love you in the Lord, but we got enough gloom and doom. Now, you're going to get Bible preaching here. Hey, there'll be a time I haul back and I shell the corn. And it's your corn I'm shelling. There's going to be times. There's also going to be times when, hey, look, we examine what the Bible teaches, and I say, man, go do it. Go do it. Now, I'm going to exhort you to go do it. There's going to be educational times. Hey, there's going to be times we just talk about the love of God. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about, now, it has to be that balance. But can I tell you what the world sees is they need to see a walking Bible in you. Amen. They need to see a walking Bible in you. They need to see somebody that's not driven by personality, but somebody that's driven by principle, somebody that decides they're going to step up and do what they're supposed to do regardless. Amen. And by the way, you listen, when you do it with the right spirit, people will like you for it. Amen. So what does it do? It reflects your progress. It doesn't happen overnight. Living for God doesn't happen. Well, I tell you what, so-and-so said they've been saved for so long. How come they're not living for God? Well, I don't know. Why aren't you? See, we all grow at different progress. Come on. Debbie, which is Jared's fiance, they're getting married here Well, in Colorado, they're getting married in August, and she's here this week. And so last night, my wife brought out the family pictures. Now, by the way, when the Wells family brings out the family pictures, it is truckfuls. You back them up, you hit the button, it unloads into the living room. So she's carrying these, her and Jared, that is, went in there, and she's pointing them out, and Jared's bringing out these big old Rubbermaids. I mean, full of pictures. I mean, books piled up on top. I mean, thousands of pictures. You know, they're holding up pictures. I'm seeing what I look like 30 years ago. I've been married for 31 years. And can I tell you, I looked different back then. Come on. Went to the Philippines to preach, and they say, Pastor, you've grown. I said, I'm a Bible believer. My Bible says he shall add fat to thy bones. I'm just obeying the Bible. That's all I'm doing. I'm a true Bible believer. Now, wait a minute, watch this, all right? And so, man, they're pulling up all these pictures. We're seeing what our kids look like when they were young. We're seeing what we look like when we were young. And can I tell you, it was delightfully depressing. You know why? Because we've aged. We've aged. We've been around people before, they call them the glad lines. Glad lines. Other people call them the crow's feet. See? Wrinkles. Okay. We've aged. We've aged. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's the progress. There's the progress. There's the progress. You're going to, look, you are going to do something with your life. Amen. You are. Why not give Jesus Christ everything you've got? Amen. You imagine the potential that sits in this room? Can you imagine this? I watched you walk in today. I watched you take your seat. I'm walking around shaking hands just like everybody else. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder who they could influence. Wonder who they could influence. Wonder who they could influence. Wonder who they could help. The potential that sits here this morning is phenomenal. Amen. Absolutely phenomenal. I was out somewhere the other day, and I was in a hurry, so I had some Bible tracts with me, and I walked over. There's about five or six people, and I walked over. I'm in a hurry. Read the back of this. Change your life. Just change your life. I got to go. I'm in a hurry. I got an appointment. Got to get there. Read it. And so I passed out five, getting in my car, driving away, looking back in the mirror. All of them were gathered in a huddle, reading it together. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. We got people sitting here today because somebody knocked on their door, put a track in their door, and they said, I'm going to go see what it's like. Then several got saved, got baptized, coming faithfully, growing in Christ. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I've heard stories of people picking up these in elevators, reading them, receiving Christ. That's neat. I've heard stories of people picking them up in bathrooms, reading them, and getting saved. Isn't that neat? Somebody planted something somewhere. All right? And so that planting, what happens is it shows a progression. The Bible says now in his season, in his season. By the way, we all reap in different seasons. We do. Knocked on one door yesterday, outdoor knocking. One guy said, glad you came by, having a hard time. I said, hey, let's talk. Knocked on another door. A lady said, I really don't have time. She shut the door. Knocked on another door, this guy said, I'm sorry, I don't have time. He shut the door, so I knocked again. And do that with the lady, knocked again. Said, I know that you're going to need this someday. Hey, just go ahead and take it. He said, okay, thanks. He took it. Now, wait a minute. I don't know if I ever read it or not, but there's a seed planted. I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, there's a sure foundation that produces fruit. What is that? That sure foundation. What it does is it reveals a portrait of fruit. You get to see things. It reflects that which is a progression. It's in a season. It requires some pruning. You know, sometimes I was raised on a farm. Sometimes we had to get shears, if you will, or had to get big scissors, and we would go in and we just prune things. Now, by the way, for the tree, it hurts. Well, I could imagine. Somebody cut off my finger, I'd say, yeah, that's probably going to hurt. That's probably going to hurt. Okay? And so for the tree, probably some pain there. But it helps the tree to grow. Sometimes here's what the Holy Spirit does. You go to a church, it's a Bible preaching church. Amen. Prunes you a little bit. Now thank God the Holy Spirit scissors are always sharp. Amen. I was at a barber shop a couple weeks ago. Scissors were not all that sharp. A little bit of pull here. And I'm thinking, that hurts. Now, wait a minute, I'm saying this. I'm saying that that requires some pruning. Sometimes God just has to prune us a little bit. That's what God did in my life at the Baptist Leadership Conference. Amen. You know what he did? He did some pruning. Said, okay, Mike, you need to put this on, put this off. Put this on, put this off. Put this on, put this off. Hey, that was God. Amen. You ready? Here, I'm done. So have a foundation of fortitude. Have a sure foundation that produces fruit. Lastly, here it is. Fruit refreshes your focus. Fruit, one of my favorite gospel tracts we have right here is the one with the orange. And what it says is this. It says, need a fresh start? Find one, Parkside Baptist Church. Fresh start. Whoa. I like that. Yep. Got that fruit? I don't know about you. I love fruit. Nothing like watermelon seasoned with salt. Love it. Nothing like a good glass of orange juice. Love it. I'm saying this. I'm saying that that fruit refreshes our focus. Refreshes our focus. It helps you to focus on God's plan. The Bible says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Helps us to focus on God's plan. Here's what it says. The Lord knoweth the way. All right? Now, wait a minute. And so God is the one that helps us. God is the one that directs us. God is the one that takes us. I trust him all the way through, and he helps me every single step of the way. Now, I want to show you something. Brother Craig, come, if you will, bring your Bible. Closing illustration. Here it is. You ready? One day, Brother Craig comes out. I'm out just walking the street, gives me a track. Doesn't have time to spend with me. Starts to walk away. Stay right there. All right, here's what it takes away. I read it, get saved, receive Christ, see it's Parkside Baptist Church. I want to go there. I want to go there. So I go, I walk down the hallway, I see him. I said, man, you're the guy who gave me this thing. Hey, that was neat. Thank you very much, sir. I did make a decision about Christ. Thank you very much. I know I'm going to go to heaven now, all because you gave me just a piece of paper. Man, thank you, sir. He says, hey, I'd like to help you a little bit. So he puts his arm on my shoulder, and he says, I'll tell you what, why don't you come to my Sunday school class? Or why don't you come to one of her classes? So he walks me into the Sunday school class. I've got people rise up, greet me. You ready? Greet me. And they come over, they start greeting me, rising up. Man, I feel kind of special. You know, I feel like a politician. Everybody's coming up, smiling, shaking my hand. We had a lady showed up a couple weeks ago in a wheelchair. People coming up, shaking her hand. Here's what she said. She said, wheeled out here in the lobby area. She said, I've never been in a place like this before. I feel like a Hollywood star. I said, you're a star in our eyes. You're a star in our eyes. Thank you so much for being here. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. You make them feel welcome. You make them feel welcome. You know? You walk beside them. You spend time with them. You save them a place to sit in church. You know? You get to sit down beside them. Preacher walks out. You can sit down. You can have my chair over there. I don't need it. Preacher walks out. You point to the guy. That's the preacher. Yeah, that's him. That's him. Yeah, that's him. The guy with no hair. That's the guy. Okay. You make them feel comfortable. Come on, you do. Take them up to the pastor after church. Take them up to the pastor after church. Introduce them. Pastor shakes the hand, smiles like a goober. He's all excited. Hey, that's the way church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be just about a program. Programs are good. I don't know how many we got. We got a bunch. We got, thank you. We got stuff for the kids and teenagers, whole nine yards, adults, whole nine. But no, it's not about the program. It's about planting yourself in a place. But can I tell you, those that have the fruit of the Spirit, those people kind of make you feel more comfortable. They do. They do. I come in. I walk. I'm done. I'm not leaving yet. Stay. But I come in, man, I'm walking down. Brother Freidenstein stands right here. I see his white hair from back here. And I walk beside him as I come down, and I think, man, what an encourager. What an encourager. He's not blessed because I'm his pastor. I'm blessed because he's a member. So I walk beside him. I step down. And just him being in his place gives me the courage I need just to step on the platform. And by the way, my dear wife, you ready? Here she is. I love it. Because she's right here every Sunday. You don't see me sometimes, but I'll walk by and I'll do this. I walk by and say, I love you. Always there. Just always there. Interplay. Now I'm saying, when you get planted in the right place, here's what happens. It encourages other people. Amen. It really does. In our society, where it's going more this way all the time, I've been preaching for 33 years. I've seen it. I've seen it in my lifetime. Here it is. Here it is. I don't want a church that's going this way. Amen. I want us to be old-time religion. Amen. I want it to be church the way it used to be. Because that's when God was changing lives. Amen. That's when God was moving. You know, they didn't come to church just to watch somebody sing the skunk skedaddle or the dish rag twist. Man, they came to church because, man, God was working. God was working. I was driving in the neighborhood. I'm done. Here it is. I took my precious wife out last night for a date. Had Jared and his fiance, Debbie. We went over to the Furs, you know, where you can eat all you want. And so we were leaving Furs. And, man, I'm driving down the highway seeing apartment after apartment after apartment. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I can't do it all. I can't. Brother Hamlin came, preached in her pulpit. He said, I just looked it up on the way in. He said, the Dallas-Fort Worth metro, over 6 million people. Last year, it grew by 144,000 people. You know, that in 1 year's growth is more than most cities. I'm thinking, we can't reach them all. Can't reach them all. But here's what we can do. We can make sure we're planted. And we're doing our best. We're doing our best and giving people the gospel.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.